You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.
You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at WeAreLibertarians.com.
Welcome to the Boss Hog of Liberty podcast. This is episode number 209 of East Centurion's favorite podcast. Jeremiah Morrill today, joined by forever co-host Dakota Davis and producer Zach Burcham, who's at a co-host seat, so I don't know what to say about him.
Today's episode features the three of us. Just the three of us. I think I sang that the last time that I was on the show, and it was just three of us.
We were supposed to have Cade, and I saw Cade less than an hour ago, and then it went away. He's gone.
Well, he injured himself.
baseball pitching injury.
The three of us are going to be talking about high school. It is graduation season. All the graduations are completed across the nation, unless you go to one of those year-round schools, which God bless you if you do. Oh, we're going to be talking about our experiences in high school, everything that we did, any regrets that we have. And
I'm going to sit here and just take notes trying to ask you guys what high school was like.
All kinds of good stories, yeah. And this is going to be fun, especially because Jeremiah was a homeschool kid. But it's going to be interesting to compare our experiences with yours, because you did also a lot of social things with other people your age.
Can you believe I was a somewhat social person?
I can very much. And then at the end of the show, the tail end of the show, we're going to be talking about some local news. The city of Newcastle has been securing bonds for parks and recreation purchases to find out how much that is and what projects they're going to be doing with it. Make sure you stick around until the very end of the show.
This show is about our lives in rural Indiana. We're here to push your boundaries and make you think as individuals. Sometimes we'll provoke you, other times we'll make you laugh, but hopefully you're always going to learn something new. Like, Dakota's going to try to sell you some stuff, and it's really good stuff.
That's right. Patreon.
I was going to say, we got some merch, but we also have the Patreon. We just did a sweet 20 minutes on chiropractors.
That's right. Here's the deal, folks. Patreon.com/BossHogOfLiberty. We do all kinds of cool things for our Patreon members. Just a couple of weeks ago, I sent out the bow ties that we wore during the episode 200.
Did everybody get one?
Celebration?
Nearly everybody.
We only had five.
The premium people.
You bought six, and we kept one for, you know, memories.
We have to send one off with Mark Brim next week.
So the top five Patreons, they are the ones who received the... And top five isn't just how much money they give us. That was the ranking system.
Truly based on cold hard cash.
It's a meritocracy.
How much do you love me? This is what decides who gets the gifts from Dakota.
But we've also in the past sent out postcards to everyone that had pictures of all of our favorite guests on them and a collage and special thank you
notes. Sometimes there's stickers, you know, whatever Dakota invents.
Yep, we do stickers. We did stickers of all of the co-host faces and sent them out to everybody. We did just Boss Hog of Liberty logo stickers and sent those out one time. So you get all kinds of little surprises if you join the Patreon, but you can reliably get show notes in front of each and every episode, so you can follow along as we are going through the show. And you also have some links, like this time there's two articles linked in here whenever we're talking about the Newcastle Parks and Recreation Bonds. There's a
link. They parks or pocks?
Pocks. No, we're not in Boston. They're parks here. We have a list of the proposed projects that's in the show notes, and we also have a link to the ordinance.
Do you think your parents are going to start coming back talking about parkways?
I don't know. Maybe. They're up in Boston right now. They've been having a great time.
They got rid of their last child, and now they are having the time of their lives. Yeah.
Listen to this, though. The flights to Boston right now are $45 a person one way, or two ways. That's
round trip.
Yeah, $45. That's also through Allegiant, so you have to pay for your bag. But,
right.
I mean, by the time it's all said and done, you're still talking about a $100 round trip.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a... So that was pretty sweet for
booked
them.
A trip to Florida because it was like $60 each way.
So my wife just did that.
Does your mom just jump on Allegiant and be like, oh, we can fly here. Let's go here, Jeff?
It's not my mom. It's more my dad.
Really?
My dad's just always looking.
He's the bargain hunter and says, we got vacation time.
My dad is constantly perusing different things to see like what he can do. So he'll be like on Allegiant looking at cheap flights. He'll at some points be like perusing Craigslist for vehicles.
Well, the real discount was the 30% discount he got by getting rid of the last kids. That's one less ticket to buy.
He looks at, he will like spend time on Zillow looking at houses. He doesn't ever buy a house.
He's just aware of the market.
You know, he knows when there's a good deal.
Yeah. So he wants to see where it's at.
Just telling him to let you know when the bubble's about to burst. that's the gamble everybody's going to wait
see,
on.
See, he doesn't have any kind of social media. So this is what he's got to
do. This is how this he is does a, it.
His time spent, his screen time.
Does he borrow his wife, your mom's social media to spy on things? Does he log in as her on Facebook?
They do have a joint Instagram account. But I don't think that he has anything actually to do with it. My dad is very against social media. He's hard-nosed against it. He's not big on screens, period. Whenever I was growing up, he had a t-shirt that said, kill your TV on it. He was anti-television until like 9 p.m. Yeah. That's how he's always been. There's always been more productive uses of time.
Well, we appreciate those that are using their TVs to stream Boss Hog at home.
That's right.
And if you join the Patreon, you do get the special Patreon emailed directly to you.
Right.
And then in the Facebook group, assuming you do choose to use social media, you get the Facebook, the show notes. And I will completely thank Dakota for this week. He's done all the planning. I've been occupied with family stuff, weddings.
I did the planning today, though.
You did it all, and at 3:30 we got show notes. I threw out some ideas, and Dakota was like, "Yep, I'm too afraid of that topic. nope, that one pisses me off too much. I don't want to do that." So he came up with it, and it's awesome.
Yeah, there was one article that you sent that just made me really mad. I was like, "Oh, you don't need to touch that." It made my blood boil. I was going to say, like, type a message. I had a message typed out in Messenger, and I was like, this is going to probably flag.
you're getting, next thing you get a 30-day ban.
Yeah.
Like, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow.
And obviously what he was upset about was Pat Sajak and his dog dying. Tragic news in the Wheel of Fortune world that got Dakota very upset.
Yeah. That's what I was so angry about.
The dog, I'll tell you what, the story that upset Dakota, we'll do it this way. The story that upset Dakota, I will stick the link into the Patreon.
You guys
can jump in there. So if you join the Patreon, go in there.
And the
story that upset Dakota so badly,
I mean,
I will put it in there.
It does make you shake your head. I don't think a lot of people will be like, well, what's wrong with Dakota? I don't think they will be.
If you join the Patreon, though, $50 or more a month, we give you a shout out at the front of each and every episode. And those folks are Miss Christy Avery, Mr. Jonathan Phillips, Anthony Meyer, and then Fiddler's Green Cigar Company. We have a very special thing in that's cooking in the oven right now that we're going to do with Fiddler's Green Cigar Company here in Newcastle.
Our people are negotiating with their people?
Correct. And the Fiddler's Green, if you don't know, they sell hand-rolled cigars, and he also has a mobile cigar lounge that he's been setting up at the Newcastle Broad Street Cruise Inns, just down the street from the studio by the Newcastle Courthouse. So it's really great. It's a fantastic thing that the ordinance that Aaron Dickin wanted to ban smoking in public areas in Newcastle, that never happened. Otherwise, he would have just murdered.
Would have killed a small business.
A local business. And, you know, Aaron doesn't need that negative publicity, because I would give him every bit of publicity that would earn. So make sure you never, ever think about doing that again, Aaron Dickin. We also have T-Chip stores. That's where you can get your Boss Hog of Liberty merchandise. T-Chip.com/BHOL1234 or BHOL mug.
Zach and I are twinning today in our Indianapolis Motor Speedway urinal T-shirts. Mm-hmm. And they are not nearly the value of the shirts that are over on T-Chip.
Definitely not.
This is the most expensive T-shirt I ever bought in my life.
What is it, $60?
Like $48.
Oh my God. Are you serious?
Not kidding.
Wow.
Yeah.
My T-shirt came from...
My brother didn't charge me that much for mine.
I don't remember. It was obscene because there was a shipping charge. There was it's a big boy size, so that's like $2 more. And it was not cheap.
They are in like the dark ages on shipping some days.
Yeah, their shipping is like $10. And I didn't, of course, I didn't try to coordinate. I'm getting better. Zach is teaching me to do group ships. Support the same thing.
I mean, there was some point that, there's one thing, IMS does a big sale, and that's, you can't combine stuff on that one because it's just too much stuff on those. But yeah, there are times IMS shipping is $13. And I'm like, can I just drive over and pick it up at the warehouse? Y'all are an hour away. Or you'd be ordered, like, we ordered these. It was in the middle of the month of May. Like, I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
Just all month. I was there. I lived in Speedway for 10 days out of 30 last month. Just let me pick the shirt up. I'll give you $2 to pick the shirt up.
So anyway, yeah. we have some awesome merch. Better value than these, but I paid so damn much money for the shirt. I'm going to wear, I wore it to a Little League baseball game today. With a picture of an enormous urinal on my t-shirt.
That's funny.
And nobody called me out.
This, my t-shirt that I'm wearing, I got from an online thrift store called ThreadUp.
And it's, yeah.
Do you have these rolled up on purpose? Is that the style now among the kids? You've got your stitching is showing.
A lot of times.
Is that intentional? Do I need to do that? Is this to show off the guns? Why do we do this, Dakota? This is.
It's the gun show between us.
All right. Well, just.
I like to roll them up. Just the one flip, though.
Yeah.
I just like the one
flip. Well, if you go up enough, you can put your fiddly screen together.
Have you read the back of his shirt? Yeah.
So funny.
The back says, Dixie Normals Casino and Lounge, liquor in the front, poker in the back. Oh, my.
And then it has
424-266-0925. Open late, hit it, and quit it.
But it also has the address. I don't even know if it's a real business or not. I just saw it.
Wait a minute. Hang on. Get it back to me. We're going to find out right now. Dialing live on the air. Stand by.
I was just going to Google it.
No, hell no. We're going to call it.
It's not a 555 number.
424-266. Let me set the mic up one more time. 0925. Dial it. Gonna go well. Please leave a message for the business you are trying to reach. We're open from 9 to 5 and we're serious about our business.
That must not be it.
I'm guessing that is not legit. No. Dixie Norma's.
Threadups.com.
I'm
that's
starting
the name
to
of the
think,
online consignment shop.
I'm starting to think that's not real.
Well, it came today.
I'm very disappointed.
And it's very starchy feeling.
Is it full of formaldehyde? Did you wash it?
No, I didn't wash it because they say that their clothing's been washed and sanitized.
And you believe them?
Yeah. I mean, I feel this shirt, though. Like,
I haven't
felt
the inside of your shirt in quite some time, Dakota.
Doesn't that feel like starchy?
It feels like it needs washed.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. But I saw the back of it. ThreadUp.com is like it's an online Goodwill. So I peruse that like my dad peruses Zillow. They have some pretty good clothes. I bought a Nixon flannel off there for like $6.
Nixon?
Yeah.
Like Dick?
Nixon. They're a good flannel company. But their shirts are really expensive. Same with this one. This was only a few dollars too. And I read the back of it. I was like, that's freaking hilarious. I'm not going to be able to wear it out anywhere.
I have a couple of those
but
shirts.
But it's really funny. Anywhere. So it's like, oh, I guess this is just like reserved for the
Zach,
podcast.
Zach, you can wear them to the podcast.
Yeah.
I wear it to the podcast.
I have
and to
one
the
of them. Because one of them I saw like in a memory. I'd worn it on the podcast. But I don't have any that are too offensive.
You got a Robin Miller with the
yeah, I
the
wore.
Finger.
I got Robin Miller. Most of them are racing related. There's a Robin Miller. I have a Pat McAfee. I don't know if that one would offend anybody, but his tour was called the I-69 tour.
He did play in Evansville, so it counted. If you play in Anderson in Evansville, it is the I-69 tour.
Oh, he did Muncie.
Yeah.
I think he might have gone to Fort Wayne, too. I can't remember, but yeah.
And your friend Jeremy has the Uncle Bobby's Turkey Emporium.
I need to get that shirt. T-shirt. Turkey delivery, yeah.
Turkey delivery.
I need that shirt.
Which
that shirt's great because that's not at all off color unless you know the reason, the story behind the shirt.
So there is one more thing that we need to talk about real quick at the front. If you are listening to the episode, you're a longtime listener. We used to promise that we wouldn't have ads on the show as long as Patreon was keeping up with things.
Yeah, you broke that promise. What the hell?
That's not the case anymore. If you're listening to the show now, Jeremiah, that was the break for the ad.
No, don't do that to me. I'm still working out the mid-roll thing.
Didn't even look at the time. You're not going to know now.
No, because it's not written over here. It's over there. It's a whole thing. Yeah, look. I don't have time. That's not when the button was pressed over there, Yahoo.
pretty close.
No, it's
you
not.
You can just go to this.
No, I came over here. Remember, I came over here.
No,
and
he
sat
was
down.
Over here. He sat down. It was a whole thing.
Yeah. If we can, we'll if we can get the unified computer control thing done with, Mr.
Then
Riddle,
we'll work it out. We're gonna get better at it.
You're hearing ads now.
Yeah, there are two ads at the beginning of the show, and there are a couple of ads at the end, and then depending upon how good I am at my job, there may or may not be an ad or two at some point mid-roll. And essentially what's happening is that the We Are Libertarians Network has entered an agreement. And since we're on the platform, we are a part of the deal where the ads are in there. And 95% of the time, it's promoting the other shows. If you listen to one of their shows, it's telling you to come on over here to Boss Hog. If you listen to us, it says, hey, go listen to Brian Nichols or Chris Spangle or Remzo or one of the other great shows on the We Are Libertarians Network. Ginger Anarchy, lots and lots of shows. I think there's 13 shows on the network. We are, of course, the number one show in the hearts of the people of East Central Indiana that listen to us. But it is what it is. And I think on occasion you'll get a national one that pays for some bandwidth. And then there are a couple of other actual network buys that may slightly benefit the gross profit margins of Dakota's embezzling operation for the show. So It's great. And of course, it'll all look good as I file and claim all these losses on my taxes in the future for the enormous failure this show
is
for
unfortunate. My
sponsorship. We are sponsors of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway now. Boss Hogger Liberty is going to be in the AMR GP's program next year, sponsoring lap 66.
Wow. Nice.
And I believe Bowman's lawn care, Andrew Bowman, got lap 65.
Bowman's Pro Turf?
Yes, Bowman's
Brazil, Pro Turf. Indiana, Brazil, for all of your Pro Turf needs.
If you're on the west side, it took lap 65. Sweet, you get some silver or some bronze badges, and you get some access to the garages and pit road. That's awesome.
Bowman going to start coming racing with us? I haven't seen Bowman at a race.
There's strong rumors. There's strong rumors in the major wall network between Bowman and Chris Galt. There's a big feud going on.
All right, guys, let's talk about this a little bit.
The floor is yours, Captain.
This is a kind of one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this. Not only do I think that it's kind of interesting, and I do like hearing these stories from people's past. Like if you listen to podcasts for a while, hearing some of the stories from the hosts, I think it's kind of interesting. So hopefully that does it for our listeners. And since it's just the three of us,
and two of us went to high school.
Yep.
Now, how many years out of school are you, Dakota?
7 years.
7 years out.
I'm past May with 7 years on the day.
Okay. All right. So you would have had your big 7-year anniversary this year.
I didn't want you to think that it was 7 years coming up in 22.
Okay. I would have been, this would be my 20 year out of high school, class of 2001, assuming I had gone to high school. There are kids that I went to high school with that graduated kids this year.
That checks out.
Yeah. The math works. Zach, you're around 20 years, 21 years?
Yeah, 20. This year would have been 20. As a matter of fact, people are like, are we going to do a reunion this year? I'm like, I'm sorry. I was kind of waiting for COVID to blow over. Because
Are you in charge?
I got roped into helping the last time. We've only had one, and it was at 5, I think, yeah. I kind of got roped into helping on that one. And
I feel like some of these class reunions are much better planned, and people care once you get to the 30, 40 year kind of range where these people are retired and they're getting back together to see each other, or they've done a better job of keeping in touch.
Well,
I think they're getting harder though to get people to show up because social media,
because you already know everybody,
gives people the kind of the illusion that they know everything that's going on.
I don't know. I thought this too. I thought the same thing. We didn't have a 5-year high school reunion for my class. But a group just got started.
Five years seems so damn fast that people are still in college.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we did. Yeah, and there's some people that are still in college or fresh out of college, or people that are, I mean, at that point, it's kind of a thing where people took usually one of two paths. They either went straight into the workforce or they went to college. And even though they're the same age, 5 years later, they're in vastly different places in their life based on that one decision. Yep. And it's not good or bad, but like, Dakota went into the workforce. He's talking about, he's like, you know, he'd bought a house and done all this other stuff. And meanwhile, a kid who went to college is functionally kind of the same as he was coming out of high school. He's just better educated, but he's probably only a year into working.
Still living at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you haven't had time to develop and, yeah. and put your plan
but
in motion.
I always thought the same thing that you did. Like, high school reunions are now defunct because we're never going to need them again. Everyone follows each other on social media. You know what's going on in their life.
The people
Why would you
care
meet
about
up
seeing, you already know what's going on with them.
Right. But that group got set up to start planning my 10-year reunion already. These people are go-getters. And they started adding everything. They were encouraging people like, hey, we set up a group photo album. You know, everybody that has photos on their Facebook page, like, do a massive photo dump in there. And I've been following it. And there's people like I haven't thought about since I graduated high school. But I was also kind of friends with them.
Yeah, you have people.
So it's weird.
And then there are some people that just don't do too much. Don't do very much social media, so you can't keep track of them.
Yeah.
And then as nice as social media is to keep track of people, and I pay attention more than some people because I've got friends who I'm like, oh, yeah, looks happened to so-and-so. And I've got friends, like some of my best friends, and they're like, who's that? I'm like, you don't remember them? And like, I've got friends who probably couldn't ramble off 40 classmates outside of maybe the ones that were in the direct activities they were in. I can remember a lot more than that, but it's still not the same as like having a conversation with somebody. Like,
right.
And some of them I don't, but I'm shocked at the number of people that live in Newcastle and I never see them. As small of a town as this is.
I kept seeing people's names and then I would click on their profile and I'm like, oh my God. Like,
yeah.
There's so many
things. How many people were in your graduating class?
We were actually the largest graduating class that Tri High had ever seen. We had 84 people.
And you forgot about some of them.
Forgot like about some a lot of, them
just, yeah. And so my class is like, I think we're under 200.
The best part as you get to be mine and Zach's age is you get to see how horribly some of them are aging.
Apparently I'm one of those people. So I'm not going to say much. But yeah, but there are some people that like I graduate with and it's a weird thing. It's probably because social media, I see them like they look the same as they did. And now it's been 20 years. So I'm like, you look the same. And then some people are like, not the same.
But yeah. Yeah. Some people are like, no, that guy didn't graduate with me.
Yeah. Oh, sometimes, yeah, you see somebody and you're like,
or you're like, no, that's Dylan. Huh? No, it's not.
Yeah. Some people I follow on social media, I follow pretty closely. And somebody be like, oh, what's happening with so-and-so? And I'm like, there are times where I can answer people ask somebody like, oh, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, this is years ago, but girl at school is she worked nights and so she was like, oh yeah, this is worth the night off. She was at a concert. Somebody's like, why did you have to use a vacation day? I'm like, she works nights. I just knew that from following her on social media. She's like, yeah, Zach's right. And I was like, that felt weird. I knew enough about her just like day-to-day life from social media to be able to answer a question.
So here's the thing, the question I would have for you guys, I get to be the Larry King here because I don't know the answers. I just get this is the greatest thing ever. Assuming you go to the 10-year Dakota or your 23rd year, whatever the hell you people are going to do from Newcastle, are you just going to go see the same people you already hang out with and talk to anyway and spend the night talking to them? Or are you going to talk to people you don't know? Is it going to be like, we're all in the same room, but I'm just going to go talk to Tommy, who I see all the time?
Here's a good answer to that. I have, so whenever I graduated high school, I was friends with this guy. His name is Ashland Garland. And Ashland was, him and I were friends. We weren't like best friends by any means, but like we had quite a few classes together. So neither one of us were in the sports crowd. So therefore, we just kind of had to gravitate towards being such a small school. And he was one of those people. I'm sorry if he's listening to this. But he was one of those people that I saw his name in the group and I'm like, oh my God, I forgot that we were friends. I haven't seen him. He's not active on social media or anything. So I just haven't seen his name since we graduated high school. And I don't think I ever had his phone number or anything, but that's kind of one of those situations. Like I would be looking forward to seeing people like that. There's like three or four people like that in that Facebook group where I'm like, I hope they show up because I was friends with them then and I want to see how their life has turned out. And a lot of those people, like Ashland he probably still is super smart. So it's like, what direction did he take his life? Right. Where did he take his gifts towards?
How do the social norms work out? Is it the, you know, are you yourself, your current self when you roll into one of these things, or do you all fall back into, well, no, I was this person in high school, so I'm going to go hang out and you're going to view things the way you did in high school. Does your brain immediately go back to thinking that way? Or is it just, I'm Dakota and I'm, you know,
I don't know. I've never experienced it before. There are times like,
cause you go see some of your buddies and it's like, you're a kid again, right?
Right.
You start to feel like you kind of lose track of all of the things you do now.
Right. You feel like you haven't missed any time.
Right.
I don't know. That's an interesting question.
It's the same thing with the family dynamic. When you go hang out with all your old aunts and uncles, like, oh yeah, Zach's 7 in there.
Well, my group of friends from high school, I still have a group of friends that, like, my brother and then three other guys, and we'll get together. And we got together and, like, ran a cabin over MLK weekend, and we act like absolute idiots when we're together. And we play video games, which is what we did coming out of high school, because we even got together in college and we play video games once a week. So we still do that. The one reunion we had, we did like three different parts. We did bowling and we did a cookout. And then we just literally took up the front room at the Elks, bought a bunch of combo appetizers, threw them on the tables. And I tried to like schmooze around and chat up with people, because I genuinely do. Like, it's interesting to see where people are doing and see some. There are some people I think would have been judged and said that, yeah, they're not going to amount to anything. And most of those people are doing fine. And there's a bunch of people that everybody thought was going to be, oh, they're going to kill it at life. And they're not. Or they're just, you know, so.
It's another game you could play of, okay, who's really killing it? Doesn't look like it. Well, and who's posing completely?
I mean, like.
So should I go in looking like a homeless guy? Like, let my hair grow out? Smear some dirt on my face.
For me, it's fun to go see the people that are like
from the coal mines, like, in West Virginia.
I was not a class officer. I was not close to being a class officer, and I don't think we had any. Some of them had valid reasons and stuff, but we had no class officers helping organize our last reunion. None of them. They all had other things going on or stuff like that.
Yeah, but okay. You're a junior in high school. Do you really? I don't know, because I didn't go to high school. Do you really know I'm taking on the damn burden of 40 years from now? I have to be, because I'm going to run for president. I have to organize the damn reunion 40 years from now.
That was the thing that
you're well aware of that when you're
running. During our student government runs, there are people, they're like the class sponsors. There's a class sponsor for every one of the classes. They're reminding you daily that the people you're voting on are tasked with organizing and spearheading class reunions forever.
For the rest of their lives.
If you have a good class sponsor, and apparently they had them, they are reminding you of that. They're like, you're not just voting for a person. Like, it's not a popularity contest. If you want to have a class reunion, this is who you are putting in charge of.
This is the lifeboat.
Yeah.
It was a conversation. It was like, do we really want so-and-so to have that responsibility?
Because my cousin Frances was her class president in Arizona. She's lived in Indiana for 12 years. She's sure as hell not going back to Arizona to go plan that. So they lost. When she left that, you know, she's not, it's not happening.
Our class president doesn't have a Facebook. So he can't even be in the reunion.
It's not like you can have a recall election.
Yeah, it is. It's because it takes a lot of work to like track people down. And we were still doing stuff. Because it was like 2006, we were still trying to do stuff via mail and mostly trying to organize stuff through Facebook. But then tracking people down and trying to organize, like, charge, like, figuring out the logistics of how much do you charge and how do you get the money and where do you put the money and whose account, like, where, what account is it in at what bank, and if people can have that, it turned into like a logistical nightmare. And so we like zinged right over 10. And we're like, we'll worry about 20 when it comes around. And so now it's here and there's a pandemic.
And 25.
And so people are like asking about it. And so we're like, oh, I guess so I need to hit up the people.
You're the class of 2000.
One.
2000. Oh, so you are the same class as me.
Yeah.
You're just much older.
Yeah, apparently, yes. I got held back all 12 years.
Zach, just so did you stack them up. Enjoy your time in high school?
I enjoyed parts of high school. I enjoyed high school for the most part. I didn't have... I mean, as much as anybody, like, there's some classes was like, yeah, whatever. I was a band geek and I loved band. It's the one thing I actually missed. And I still went back. It was probably like 5 or 6 years before I missed like a state finals. That Newcastle would pop up and they didn't do a lot of that after, but I would still go to band contest. I heard Blue River's
looking for a band director. You want in on that game?
No, I had a friend that was a band director there and then he graduated. That's a marching band's a tough gig because, anything that anybody says about, especially a school like Blue River that has a marching program that does field shows, you think, oh, you're going to have the summers off, and you don't have the summers off. That's when you put in more work than any other time of the year.
Well, a lot of larger schools will have a band director and a marching band director.
Yeah. It's
two separate goes.
But Blue River's got some killer history, a really great marching program, and they've got some like fun stuff that a director can kind of pick up, tweak on a little bit, but have some fun with.
As long as you make your students wear freaking actual marching band uniforms, that would be
helpful. I was a little disappointed Newcastle didn't march in uniform at the Memorial Day parade just because it was like 70 degrees. I was like, they didn't have an excuse today. I get it when it's like 90, but
it's ridiculous.
Newcastle won't march there.
They don't
sometimes.
Even teach him how to walk anymore.
Deep down, Dakota sounds like an
old Newcastle still boomer. Does, but the reason why Newcastle sometimes won't pull theirs out is because they use theirs for other stuff, like for field shows. And it's, if you get them out and it's 90 and everybody sweats out in them, then they have to go to the dry cleaner or they have to be hung out to dry, and nobody wants to mess with that. So,
well, we got,
I get it, but it was nice.
Did
on
you guys
the World
get
Day.
Like, this is your uniform?
You're issued one every year.
Okay. Yeah. That's how ours were.
We got fitted in the
you
fall.
You were in charge of, if you wanted it washed, you were.
We didn't have, no, we like, were we ever sent home with ours? I don't think so.
We weren't sent home. But you just had to say, hey, I want to get this washed. And
no.
then they would let you take it home.
They would take it and here, like twice a year might maybe have it dry cleaned.
Interesting.
But we used ours. I mean, we used ours for field shows.
So I don't think I ever washed my uniform.
Every football game we used ours. And then we'd, what, 7 or 8 marching band contests? Because we'd start in mid-September and march until the end of October in field show contests. So
what you're telling us, Zach, is the one thing you enjoyed about high school was band.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
it was hard. It wasn't easy. I loved band. I still liked it. It was, there's something about putting a whole bunch of work in. You'd start in June and right after the Memorial Day parade, and you'd start even on your music before then. And then you're literally pounding away at 3 pieces of music until October.
You know, it's kind of been a cool thing recently to just take a dump all over your high school experience, like posting memes and just talking a lot of crap about like, oh, I hated high school. High school was the worst. I'm like, and I see a lot of people that I went to high school with that are saying this stuff. I'm like, really? I had a great time.
Yeah.
Like most of my,
well, you were the popular kid, Dakota.
Well, and I wasn't though. Like I wasn't in that crowd.
And how do you,
I just had fun.
How do you not get older and not look back at that? Yeah. I had it a lot better than I thought I did back then.
Like, yeah. Of course, in the moment,
yeah,
like, there were a lot of crappy times, but like in the grand scheme of things now, like looking back at my stress because finals was coming up, I'm like,
yeah, I mean, we had...
That's nothing like having to answer the bell of doing a Boss Hog on a Thursday night.
Right.
It's 3:00 and I don't have show notes yet. What are we talking about? I don't know. We're going to turn out a show, though.
We'll figure it out.
Band was good, and we were good, which helped a lot. I mean, that would have been... We went to a state finals every year I was in. We marched at the RCA Dome, marched at... I don't think I ever marched at Lucas Oil.
And we never competed.
Lucas Oil didn't open until 2008, yeah. So you would have been...
We did a band trip.
7 years post high school.
To Disney as a band over Thanksgiving weekend.
Were you and Jonathan Juergen in band together then?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can remember Juergen's being goofy on that band. I mean, it's like, I need to get my kids back to Disney, but I've always told myself it's going to be a tad bit of a disappointment because I went with like 180 to 200 people I knew. They handled that trip great. We had like about an hour worth of responsibility, and we left on a Wednesday and we came back like on a Sunday.
Your mom's telling you that you absolutely cannot be the band director.
No, yeah. I'm not qualified to be the band director. I was an okay tuba player.
I will say that I don't have tuba traditional high school experience, but I did socialize significantly with folks in 4-H. I was Mr. Henry County in 2000, and the 4-H organization has got a new committee, and they're rebranding, retooling the Mr. and Miss Henry County program. And apparently the records have been somewhat questionable. So they've come back and asked some folks that had won before, hey, here's a list. Do you remember who won this year, guys and girls, throughout the years? And it has caused me, because I know somebody that won 2 years before me. So I'm like, I've been chatting with Matt Wright and like, hey, who won in 2002 or 2003 or the year between you and I? and trying to remember some of that. And it has jogged some memories of people that I hadn't thought about in 20 some years. And I'm far enough out now, Dakota, where it's like, holy shit, I'm trying to remember what happened in 1997. I was 15, 14 years old. I don't remember the specifics. I, you know, I remember this person, but I don't remember all of the machinations of it. It's definitely exercising a part of my brain that I haven't used in a long time, trying to remember some of those folks. And some, you know, obviously if you won that award, you were at the top of the, you know, you were the
you'll never forget. There's yeah, pictures of that somewhere, some yeah. record.
You were on the cover of the vaunted Courier Times. That's what I said when they were trying to find these out. I'm like, somebody should just go to the basement of the Courier and look at some old papers. You go to about the second week of July and you'll see the answer to all of these.
Yeah, now you just look at your memories that pop up on Facebook. Right. It tells you everything
well,
that's happened.
It's like we have great records up from 2004 and more current, but everything is like, yeah, those files don't exist, or somebody threw that away, or, you know, offices moved or whatever happened, and there's not a great historian's record. But yeah, digitally, now that we have Twitter and Facebook and everything else, you can go back and harvest up stuff of, you know, it's a larger conversation about, like, in the 1800s, 1700s, people kept diaries. So we know all kinds of things about the people that lived and existed in the 1700s and 1800s. And we know a great amount about historical figures. We don't keep diaries now. And we didn't keep diaries 30 or 40 years ago, most people. But we do have our social media. And that shit's not going away. So they're actually going to have
one
better
flare and it's all gone.
There's going to be a better picture of us than there are of our parents' generation or the generation before. Those that didn't journal, that didn't do diaries, that didn't keep that stuff. But we can go back and see Dakota at 13 years old on a junior prom when he was dating that busty 17-year-old girl. And they had the, you know, we got that picture. There's all of the abuse of Dakota when I went back and scrolled for months through all of his old pictures.
My first prom was with the girlfriend of co-host Chase Payton's sister.
Yes.
I'm glad that there wasn't, like, there were some pictures floating around, like prom prep when I was in high school. I went to four.
There's still an out of high school. There's not still not a picture of 17-year-old pimply me that I like, by the way.
I
not a fan
five.
Of any of those.
You went to, you managed five. I got four because my wife went to a different school, different age. So we did two in 1 year and then one on either end of that one.
Actually, I went to six. No. I just went to four. I was a flunky my freshman year.
Bingo was a freshman.
No, a flunky is like, I think it was freshman. It was either eighth grade or freshman. A flunky is like the underclassmen that get picked by a vote of the upperclassmen that are going to the prom to, like, serve the drinks and the food during prom.
you're a labor.
You are a waiter.
But it was a cool thing.
Did you have to buy a suit for that?
No, they gave you uniforms where, and it was.
Man, you guys were fancy out there.
It was black pants, an all black long sleeve shirt, red suspenders, white gloves, and a red hat.
Is this at a golf course? Where did you have these things?
I don't remember where that prom was at. Because it wasn't my prom, but it was kind of a cool thing to be voted by the upperclassmen to go to their prom.
So,
like, it wasn't seen in my high school as haha, you got voted to go serve the food, you loser.
So where were your proms at, Zach?
I have to stop and think.
Because it seems like a lot of folks go up to Muncie now. There's a big performing arts center or whatever. There's a lot of proms in Muncie.
Yeah, we had one there.
April had one at the country club, and I can't remember where April's second one was. And then we had one. I think both of ours were at the Armory. Newcastle's problem is there's not a lot of places in Newcastle that can host Newcastle's prom.
Not yet, but once the Henry County Expo
Center exists, and they'll look forward to that.
Baller.
Because, and I can't think if we had one. I went to one at the Metropolitan, but I can't remember who that was for. If we tried to do one at the Metropolitan 1 year, and I think they just like a one and done, because I think the floor was visibly flexing with people dancing on. Like, you could seriously watch the floor move. Both of ours might have been, they would bounce around between there and the field house. The problem with the field house was there's no walls to decorate because the dance floor is the, and at that point they were so OCD, they were still covering the court to keep people from having street shoes on it. So it was a pain to death.
I had a prom at the Raintree Inn.
I mean, that the Raintree Inn was a fine establishment. Yeah, before the OYO. I remember when we went to the comedy show at the OYO.
Before the mezzanine level fell to the ground.
Embarrassing. It was embarrassing.
The one,
the whole facility that they gave us was the size of our of the two rooms.
Was it just
the
restaurant?
Studio.
Was it basically
in the bar? It was high school kids in the bar, but the bar was closed. So we had the bar dance floor and where the couple of seats are at. That was literally it for the whole class.
For a class of 87 kids plus dates and chaperones.
And then the post prom was at back at the school in the gym.
I don't think we did.
I made a comment about that in the group. I was like, we should do the 10-year reunion at the Raintree Inn, and this time we can all drink
at the bar.
At the bar,
but they didn't have it in the restaurant next to the bar, because there was like when we went to the comedy show, that room was used. It used to be called like Twiggy's or something. It was a restaurant, but it would have been bigger.
It wasn't in the Twiggy's. Like it was
that would have seemed like a lot more appropriate place to put you guys than the bar.
That's even better. There was just in the bar area.
I think that they might have wanted to separate us from the other patrons. Maybe I don't know, but I said that and I got called out in the group. They were like that room was free for us to use. The libertarian should appreciate that.
Wow.
I was like, oh, okay.
Wow. I want names and numbers of who's bitching about that.
You know who it was?
So I do want to say
the guy that almost dethroned Darren Jacobs.
you're too famous now, Dakota, to pull these shenanigans of looking homeless and being disheveled. You go through town as the host of Boss Hog, one of the co-hosts, and you people know you, and you don't know who the hell they are.
It's true. He knew me.
It happens all the time.
He knew me.
You're too famous. All right. What else do we need to cover on the high school stories?
Let's just go through this one thing really quick. If for each of us, go back to yourself at the age of 16. Most people do this 18, but at the age of 16, what advice would you give yourself?
Buy Google stock.
That would be your advice to yourself. Just all about the money. You all about the money, Jer?
Yeah, for that, yes.
Did Google exist when we were 16?
It was very new.
I was going to say,
we're
still using like a Facebook. Netscape Navigator. Facebook didn't come until I was in college.
Yeah, Facebook was later.
Yeah.
Google was
Facebook
around.
Would have been a good one.
What was it? I'm trying to think of what all the Northern Light and all the search browsers.
Web crawler.
Yeah.
Excite.
Ask Jeeves.
Jeeves is a little later.
Ask Jeeves.
Jeeves is a little later. That's why Dakota remembers it. Web crawler, Excite, Yahoo. Google.
I remember the old Yahoo.
Lycos.
AOL.
Lycos. Yeah.
With all the discs.
I remember AOL and the chat rooms started to become a big thing.
Net Zero came along.
My cousin met a guy from France. She met a man from France and went over. They dated and went over and visited him in France. It was a wild thing in an AOL chat room. His name was
didn't do too many chat rooms.
Francois or something like that. It was weird.
I did a trip to Europe in high school with
ICQ
high school kids.
was the big messenger platform back in the day.
ICQ.
I'm sure you knew ICQ.
So you would say, Jeremiah, it's me, you from the future. And he's like, what am I like in the future? Where are we at? And you're like, buy Google stock.
Oh, there would be two things. One, buy Google stock and start buying a damn ticket to the Indy 500 through the ticket office now so that you have 25 years seniority. Just buy a general admission ticket through the office. Those would be the two pieces of advice. So that by the time you're 58, you can get in the penthouse.
What would yours be, Zach?
I don't know. I don't know if I would have anything.
It's a tough question. It's a legit tough question because if you try to change your life too much, you change the people you met, the things you did, the people you're with. Zach's with his wife in high school, right?
Yeah.
You're with your wife in high school, Dakota.
Yep.
So you got to be careful about that. You'll change the space-time continuum. And I assume that you're pretty happy with the life you have. But a little Google stock back in the day would have been a pretty good thing to have.
I don't think about it like that, though.
It might be for me just to buy a bigger house.
I know
house
my answer because
one.
I thought about it in the shower before I came here. Because I wrote the notes.
In the shower? Are these shower notes?
I wrote the notes before the shower. Whenever Jackson's shower bathtub was filling up and he was crying, I was just thinking of things.
Go to Nashville more often. Take more trips.
What do you want me to go before you?
I can't think of much. Like I said, because I don't know. I don't know if I can come up with much.
See, I thought, okay, so I did have another answer.
I've had a pretty good.
That I had another answer that I did say no to because it would have changed my life radically. And that was, I would have told myself to join the military because I was thinking about it at that time. And I think about it often and I regret it. But at the same time, it's like I'm really happy where my life ended up, where I'm at right now. So it's like, how can I really regret that? Because who knows what would have happened if, you know, my life could be way worse now if I, so it's like, is that really a regret? Would I tell myself that? So that's, I see what you're saying there. But I think that I would tell myself, like, convince Audrey, and it wouldn't have taken any convincing at that age, to go and live in Chicago for just 1 year. Take a break from doing anything. Go live in Chicago for a year. Find a random crappy job. Get a crappy apartment. Don't have a car. Just go and experience what it is.
Big city living.
Yeah.
I could say you probably, if it was anything, it'd be like, don't get the job I have now because it's an okay job, but I hate it. I'm still there. So I think
you have the opportunity to be band director.
No, I don't have an ear for band director.
If you I wouldn't get summers off. You don't get summers off now, Zach.
Like, no.
Is there a change?
I mean, I get like...
See, that's it.
I mean, I just put in for like 9 days of vacation in the next month. So, I mean, that's not too bad. Like everything around, but that's about the only thing I'd be like, yeah, go like find a job and then plan everything between the end of high school and college around getting the job and not just going to college to get a college was what I kind of did and not really have a plan of what I was going to do when I got out.
Yeah. I knew that I was like that, which is why I didn't do it. And I also...
See, I had the advantage of I was homeschooled. I worked the place I do now. It's changed it's changed courses a few times. But I figured out something that I wanted to do. I worked nights. I worked days, and I went to school at night, and I got my bachelor's degree to set me up to do the job that I want to do. And it's challenging at times, but incredibly happy. I'm very happy.
My thought was like, I wanted to do something. I wanted to be doing something. I could not stand anymore. I went all through high school and I sat in a room all day and I hated it. And I went and did building trades. And I'm not doing that anymore. I'm out doing something. It didn't matter what it was. As long as I was moving around, I felt accomplished. That was like my only parameter. Now there are days I don't feel like that because like it's raining and nothing's happened and some
records.
Yeah. So what do I do? Sweep my shop out and listen to a podcast and organize some shelves. Like, and that's the most boring thing. But most of my days aren't like that. So I appreciate that. But I think that also a lot of young people could, you know, it's difficult because everyone says, you know, you can do anything. Follow your dreams. Well, here's the deal. You know, unless you're super disciplined, unless you are the best of the best, you're not going to become a famous musician. The parameters to become a rock and roll star or a hip hop artist are so slim that like maybe it's time to be a little realistic.
Yeah, but there's four people in a band, 100 people that tour with them that are a part of the gig.
Right.
Maybe you want that life, but you're not going to be doing that.
Right.
But maybe you're the guitar tech.
And maybe that's what I was going to say is like, I had all these other things, but then I realized like I could get fulfillment from just doing something. Like there were other things that I wanted to be doing, but if I was doing something, I felt good. So find like those few things and then the door to many other opportunities will open up instead of following a very narrow path that you don't know if you're ever going to make it.
Like hosting a hip podcast in East Central Indiana.
And then opportunities will pop up along the way. That's kind of just how life works. Because I felt like I was sold on this idea that I could be anything that I wanted to be whenever I was a kid. And then it was like, that's not quite true.
You can shoot your shot. You can shoot your shot to be anything you want to be.
You can try.
You can attempt it.
And you need to be able to recognize whenever.
It's also, and it's there are all kinds of different paths you can go down. You can say, I want to be an entrepreneur. You could say, I want to be what everybody else wants to be right now, which is a damn social media influencer, where there's this couple from Nashville who have 2 million Facebook followers. And
my second grader came home the first day of school. He's like, I'm going to be a YouTuber. No, you aren't.
200,000 views on a Facebook video in 4 days and yada, yada, yada. But there's also, I value work-life balance massively. I love my job. I love what I do. But I also find ways to make it work so that I can do this podcast, so that I can have quality time with my family, so that I can travel, so that I can do the stuff I want to do. I could move to Birmingham, Alabama, or Nashville, Tennessee, or Charlotte. Probably make a lot more money, put a lot more hours in, but I wouldn't be with the people I care to be with and be a part of the activities I want to be a part of. It's all about balance. So it's not just the job you have. It's the life that you're able to build and choosing to do what you want to do.
Yeah.
That's what I've, and I've looked at things through that lens for probably the last decade of it's not, hey, I have to make a certain amount of money. I need enough money to be able to do the things I want to be able to do and live the life I want to live.
If there's been one,
and that's the goal.
Struggle. And it's like a guilt thing. It's like, I've never really been willing to like give up weekends and stuff. Like I need to have my break. And like now it's like, well, if I got a job and I had to work Saturday or something, it's like, when would I get to go camping? I'm like, I have a camper. When would I get in? Like, and then, cause I had a friend and he'd had it when there was not a big deal, but for him, it would turn into a big deal. He had a gig for a while where he worked like Tuesday through Friday or Monday through Friday night. No, it was Tuesday through Saturday or something like that. I can't remember. His days off were in the middle of the week, but he worked 4:30 to 12:30. And he only did that, even just being like in his 20s for a while, because he said, if I want to see anybody at any time, I have to take a vacation day. Because his time off was overlapped with everybody else's. He was at work when everybody else was off. And so even for a short period of time for him, he's like, I can't handle this. And I was like, I couldn't have done it either. Because I like to see people, interact with people. And for you to have to use vacation time to just like go get a pizza with somebody would have been insane to me.
Yeah. You want to use a vacation to go to North Carolina.
Yeah. I'm real bad. I've had coworkers that the minute they earn a vacation, they take it off. And what they do is sit at home. And if I take a vacation day, I am going somewhere and trying to figure it out.
That's looking at the larger conversation. That's the biggest advice to me, is figure out what you want your life to be. And it's not entirely about money. It's about making sure that you can do the things you want to do. Figure out what you value and then set it up so that you can do that. I'm exactly the same, Zach. I wanted a job that I would have predictable evenings and weekends and do the things that I need to be able to do. I would not be a good second
your
shift
knows
worker.
That other life.
Yeah, now he's got like a more of a regular schedule that he does do overnights now. But he also, till he jumped into the current gig he had, he could take off whenever he wanted. Mm-hmm. I mean, he didn't get paid for it. He wasn't getting paid vacation time. But there were times where he was at least made enough, and the way they structured things, where he would go take off, and you know, in like the span of like 3 years, he rode his motorcycle coast to coast. And he would just, you know, or take off a Friday afternoon and go ride to Michigan for a lunch and do that kind of stuff.
I do miss that about that job.
Yeah. I don't know how he does it now, because he's down to like,
not going to be in.
Yeah. He's down to like 2 weeks of vacation a year. I'm like, I couldn't operate on 2 weeks of vacation time, because I have stuff that I do every year, and that stuff cumulatively adds up to about three weeks.
Right.
And then I have like a fourth week that I have vacation time that I float like as a spring break or a fall break or something like that. And I'm like, I don't really want to get, my kids are at the age, I don't want to give any of that up.
I had 2 weeks of vacation for the first 5 years, and Audrey got her job when she was working in Greenfield, and they just immediately gave her 3 weeks of vacation and two regular holidays. I was like, you just started. I've been at my job for 2 years, and you have more vacation than I do.
Yeah.
But, and in that role, you're like, okay, I need a week to go for my honeymoon. So I've got 4 days left, right?
Oh, I have to make my honeymoon, and I did my regular vacation and my honeymoon the same year. And it was like, I have a spreadsheet on my work computer where I can project out all my time. And it was like down to the 15 minutes. I think I earned one of my honeymoon days while I was on my honeymoon.
Dakota has abandoned us. I think we're finishing the high school side. Zach, were you at the latest city council meeting?
Yes, I was.
So the conversation that Dakota has planned for us, and then he abandoned us and left the room, is he wants to talk about Newcastle City PACs.
Yep.
And it appears that they are the city of Newcastle is looking at a little over $1 million bond issue. And they are, if you have the show notes, if you're a patron, you've got the show notes and some clickable links to the actual bond and everything that they've identified. But they're looking at about a $1.4 million bond for the city that would, if it's approved, be able to make a bunch of potential improvements to the city parks. Now, I'm a libertarian, but I'm actually also a big fan of parks. So this is it's a delicate balance. There are certain things from the liberty side. There are certain things government does and does well. There's certain things the government shouldn't do or doesn't need to do. But I've always actually been pretty supportive of parks. I don't know if they've always had bonds and they're paying them off and they're reissuing them. I don't know if they talk about that in the meeting. Is this a new bond that they're going to put in place or something expiring?
This is coming in after a bond that's going to be paid off, I believe, in January.
Okay. So probably of the same value.
Pretty close.
That happens a lot where you have a bond that's in place, and the way taxes are set up in Indiana, your property taxes, everybody has a levy based upon what money you have in the budget. So a very common thing to do is to go ahead and issue another bond, a couple million bucks, $2 million. If you go over 2 million, you have to put it in front of the taxpayers and they have to vote on it. So if you keep it under 2, the board or the city council can just go ahead and issue it on their own. And what will happen is it won't change the tax rate for the community.
The
community still get the pie is still shared the same way. If they didn't do this, all of a sudden, well, Newcastle's not going to get as much money, but the school might get more money, or the library would, or the county parks, or the county would.
Yeah, they specifically said that they would structure it. I mean, you can always tell when something like that's coming up because there's certain council that are always come into those meetings. And they said, they said if max would be 1.4, it would probably be closer to 1.1, but it would be structured like it had a max interest rate and a max time frame, but it would probably be shorter than that. They have a priority list of things. I'm trying to pull up because I didn't get to see the list. Like, that got handed around, but it wasn't anything that I got to see at the meeting, and I haven't checked the paper yet. But our parks do a pretty good job. Like, they're I don't see it as like a, they don't. I think the skate park's fantastic. They've done some stuff to the pool.
I can hear a siren or something outside, like, so I was pulling my headset off to try to understand what's going on. Just some highlights here. And Dakota, you can jump in if there are some items that you wanted to talk about that they're trying to do. But Osborne Park is like the north side park here in town. Once again, Newcastle is about 20,000 people. They've got a number of different parks in town, but Osborne Park is kind of the north side park. There's an old football field up there that the youth used to play. They play youth football. They want to get rid of a press box.
I got a football start on that field.
My brother did too. They want to put some new bathrooms in, which I know are desperately needed in Osborne Park. Paving some roads up there, removing stumps and some dead trees. Always an issue in parks. And then they want to do some work to the softball diamonds up there. The armory that Zach talked about, where his prom was in Murphy Park, the little green space just to the west of that. They want to pave that parking lot. I think that's gravel right now. Is that right? I'm Ron Burgundy.
Yep, it's gravel.
They want to build up a new shelter. They're talking about roofing some of the armory. That is an expensive job right there. That's probably $100,000. Mm-hmm. New front doors on the armory, and they want to buff that floor. So they want a floor cleaning machine.
Here's the big one.
Baker Park is like the central park of Newcastle. They want to put some more playground equipment in.
Which they've already started to do.
Some bathroom work, some more parking, upgrades to some shelters. This is a big laundry list. So this is essentially when you apply for a bond, you say this is the stuff we might use the money on, and then they'll decide, but it's an all-encompassing. Here's the scope of what we can do. So more bathrooms, more shuffleboard court upgrades, more softball diamonds, yada, yada, yada. More trees, walkways, trash cans, upgrades to basketball courts. And then I guess they consider the skate park, which is right across the street from Baker Park, and actually a different park.
It's its own entity.
Yeah. So they want to expand north and add even more onto it. Add some
they've been
lights,
talking about that for a couple of years.
To upgrade the entrance a little bit, to expand the green space. So
they could definitely use more lighting out there.
Yeah,
for sure.
That is probably the most popular park.
People like to knock it and people like to try and attack it, but it's a 12-month use facility, and it's hard unless it's snowing or storming. Rain not necessarily will slow them down sometimes. It's hard to find a time that's not being used. I've run by there at 5 a.m. and seen people using the skate park. And right now, I bet there's 40 kids there. The basketball courts sometimes are being used. The skate park is always being used.
Those are some of the most, the highest level, the parks, the public facing side. But they also are talking about doing some work on the maintenance and equipment side.
Are all the
upkeep.
The high school fights going on there now?
I don't see that much.
Where were the fights at whenever you were in high school?
I'll say this about, and this is a thing about the skate park, and I've probably said on the show before, is before the skate park was there, all the tuner car kids would hang out there, mm-hmm. and they seemed to cause a lot more trouble and were a lot more just disruptive in general to people. And then when they built the skate park, they chased those kids out and they disappeared. And like, as a pedestrian who goes by, the skate park kids are a lot friendlier than the tuner car kids were, and the basketball court kids were, although the basketball court kids aren't too bad now. I don't know where the fights were. I mean, it probably would have been up there, like when they were playing basketball and standing around their cars, but I don't remember too many fights.
When I was in high school,
I was actually at Broad Street a lot.
Friday night,
Broad Street, like when Broad Street, not like organized Broad Street, but when like the masses showed up, and if people who weren't around, Broad Street was a legit big deal. And it was a big deal on a scale that was hard for local people to comprehend and potentially our mayor at the time. Like I said, I've been hours away from here, hours, like in Brown County, and mentioned where I was from, and they said Broad Street. They knew where I was from because they knew of Broad Street. And when I worked at Kroger back, I would work like the 8 to 12 Saturday shift, and before I would leave, there would be trucks out in the parking lot at Kroger, and they were like getting shined up and waxing their trucks to get ready to cruise Broad Street because they drove in from Terre Haute, or they drove in from Fort Wayne to cruise Broad.
So Friday night when we were hanging out with the Fiddler's Green Cigar Company folks, Zach and I went and sat down on Broad and talked. There was a guy from Ohio who was talking about what it used to be back in the day.
Yeah.
But that's the high school hangout for us. It's exactly right. Is that you would get in? I would get my 87 Bonneville and come rolling up from Memorial Drive, State Road 3.
You spent 2 hours up there, and you drove 0.75 miles.
Yeah,
and
it would take all night to drive from where the Greens Fork alignment is down the hill and back. It was you wouldn't go anywhere.
You just stop at the Red Barn at 3 and 38, where the Walgreens is, and there was a Red Barn there. It had like a full. It was like Casey's General Store before Casey's General Store. It was a gas station, but it had a full service like grill in there. You could get some cheese fries or something. And
when I was in high school, you would go to the library parking lot to fight.
the Spiceland Library, Newcastle.
You drove to the center of the closest town with the police department to get into a fight.
Yeah.
I'll be honest.
Here's the dirty secret about that parking lot. That's actually not the libraries. That's the city's parking lot.
The library's trying to get it, though. That's in the works.
We go to the city parking lot to fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless you're in the row right next to the building,
back by the bookmobile.
I say that like it happened often. My whole high school career, we probably went there 3 times.
To watch a fight. This probably runs into what kind of kid was I in high school. I never hung out with anybody that got in a fight. I didn't either.
I just heard about it.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, we're going.
Yeah. I never was involved with any fights.
I did have a really good friend. This is weird. He's a good guy now, but he made it his mission when we were sophomores, I think, to get suspended. It was his mission. He's like, I'm going to get an out of school suspension no matter what. So he just was being disruptive in classes, you know, cursing, drawing inappropriate things, kept getting detentions.
But
couldn't get suspended. So he's like, guess I got
to. You have to escalate it to get suspended.
He's like, Yeah, it's like playing Red Dead Redemption. You know, you can, the cops will give you a chance to move along, but you got to pull the weapon. So he's like, guess I got to punch somebody. So he, it was the end of the day. And at the end of the day, the teachers would stand out in the hallways outside of their rooms while everybody was packing up their lockers for the night and grabbing their backpacks to leave, right? And he waited until then, walked up behind a guy that was in our class and tapped him on the shoulder and said, hey, blank. He turned around and he just punched him right in the nose and it started a huge fight. And he got suspended. And I'll never forget this part. It was really funny. Our gym teacher is one of the teachers that saw it, broke up the fight. They only got a couple of swings in, but he broke the kid's nose because he sucker punched him right in the face. And he
had gotten suspended without like blooding a guy's nose. It seemed like you'd hit him without. That's a weird, that's a really weird goal in life, and just to get suspended.
Yeah, it was a weird thing. It was a weird thing.
My goal in school is to have the principal not know who I was.
Yeah.
That was my goal. To be anonymous?
Yeah, and I couldn't because I had family that worked in the school in which I was attending. Yeah,
the same thing.
Yeah.
But whenever he came back from his suspension, he had missed a couple of assignments that were due in our physical education class. Like I said, the PE teacher, he saw the whole thing. And he was like, are you going to give me a chance to make these up? And he was like, you sucker punched a kid right in front of me. I'm not. He's like, you're not getting a chance here.
I don't think people went places to get, like, there were fights in school. I can remember seeing a fight. Like, once in a while, you had to, like, not dump your applesauce because a fight might bump into you in the lunchroom. But, like, because there were places to hide in Newcastle and, like, get into fights. But I don't remember. I remember one kid. Yeah,
there was not any places like that.
I remember a kid who did try to pick a fight after school with somebody, and it didn't work out well for him. And it was a really strange situation where the kid hadn't gone home yet. And because he hadn't gone home yet, he was still under school, like, jurisdiction. But he went to the other kid's house, and he started a fight with the kid. Well, that kid didn't get in trouble because he was home. So he had, like, broken the plane of being school's responsibility. But this kid was. And so he got suspended, and then he got beaten so badly that when he showed up to school, like, 3 days later, he still had the kid's class ring marks all over his face. Like, all over his face.
All right. I was involved in one fight in high school. And unfortunately for me, this kid deserved it. In my defense, he full-on deserved it. In fact, if he had said the things that he said then now, I would do the same thing today.
still dead.
And unfortunately for me, though, in my career path and in his chosen career path, we often saw each other on a daily basis, not daily, weekly basis for a short period of time. And that was incredibly uncomfortable.
All right. I want to work in a little bit of a new segment here, and it's going to be a rapid fire. About,
is this your final
thoughts? No, this is going to be rapid fire. I'll have a different final thought, but I want to ask some questions. Have you heard the bugs yet? The cicadas. You choose how to pronounce it. Have you?
It's cicadas. What do you mean choosing? There's no choosing. That's just how it's pronounced.
Cicadas. Have you heard the cicadas?
There are none on Beezer Creek at all. Even in the woods. Actually, Jackson and I took a walk to the cemetery, which is surrounded by woods in Spiceland, and didn't hear a single one.
So have you heard any at all?
Down south, at our campsite,
yep.
There are probably millions.
Yeah.
I mean, it is incredible. There's like thousands per tree.
Zach, you run all over the damn place. Have you seen them? I haven't heard a thing.
And I don't recall them the last time that they came out. I remember hearing all about it on the news. I'm thinking these things are like a figment of people's imagination, and it's a thing, like it's an overblown media hoax. Because I'm like, I just don't. Newcastle is evidently not a hotbed for
them. They're here. It's just in certain places. So yeah. I live in town.
Apparently, they're very hyper local. Nothing. Yeah.
Nothing. You can literally hear them over the car. Like, you can be driving, you could be listening to the radio, you could be on the phone, and you can hear them screaming.
I heard this. It's a real high pitch.
If you jump on. If at 103 and 36 north of Newcastle, I've been taking that route home because of all the construction on 3. I can hear them outside the car, just on 103. North.
I even went.
If you drive out to my brother's house or to Cade's house,
Cade said it's crazy out there.
It is unbelievable. But they stop at night, so it's only during the day. At night they quiet down. So if you go out in the late evening, you're not going to hear them. But I went and I literally took a tree and shook it and they all came flying out and went everywhere. They're unreal.
I even did when
it's
out,
like at 3
I went out to
Summit
Lake worst. Last week and didn't hear any. I was on the lake. I didn't go like on a hike or anything. But I went 103 to 36 and didn't hear, remember hearing any.
5:36 o'clock.
They're
in the afternoon,
so loud.
They're, and maybe it wasn't because of the rain. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it, right now they are epic. But it's, at my house, I didn't hear them at all. I go to my brother's house. It's unreal.
They're so loud in Brookville that like you have to raise your voice to talk to people.
Yeah.
It's, Bob and Tom off Bob and Tom said he I don't know who knows how accurate it is. App on his phone that measures decibels and he got him like at 105 decibels somewhere.
I could.
And they took a tree ranch out in front of their studio. And so you can tell there's a parking lot behind it. This isn't like a forest. And you can just see them on it. And they just shake the branch, just one branch. And like a couple hundred of them are coming out of the branch.
I was catching them.
That's exactly what I did at Danny's house.
I was catching them and giving them to Jackson and letting him play with them and stuff. He thought they were interesting.
Apparently,
so that was a neat thing.
Apparently, they pop pretty good when you hit them with like a car. And somebody hit them with a motorcycle. And they said it hit him on the hand, and they thought it broke their finger.
I smoked one, and it hit my windshield so hard today that it was the nastiest just bug print ever. All right. Just think about that. The next time these come out, Jax is going to be an adult.
Yeah.
He'll be an 18-year-old boy.
18-year-old.
18-year-old man. All right. One more fun one for you. There's a story in local news, New York State, my original homeland, WWNY. Messina, New York is the dateline. A Connecticut couple won the lottery and they found their dream home in northern New York. There's an HGTV show called My Lottery Dream. It's on Friday at 8 o'clock and the show is called the episode is called Border Town Bonanza. They won the lottery in Connecticut. They wanted to get the hell away from the city and they bought a house in Messina, New York. And that's where their lottery home was. So the rapid fire question is you guys win the lottery. Where are you going? You staying in Henry County? Are you moving? You going to Chicago, Dakota? Where's your lottery house?
I'm going to have a loft apartment in Chicago, and I'm going to have a ranch in Montana.
And you're just going to commute between the two?
Yep.
It's going to be tough to do Thursday night.
I've thought about that a lot. Like, that is my ultimate dream.
Zach,
I would have multiple residences, but my primary, I probably would build somewhere like, I like Henry County. I'd probably build out somewhere by Westwood.
Yeah.
Buy like a hilly lot out there and build a crazy house. It would be fun to have a house like in Montana. Like, it'd be fun to have a ranch on a 4 to 5 figure property and then just go out there and just like, you could do whatever you wanted. Just goof off.
There are properties where that you can buy that butt up to Yellowstone National Park. So how sweet would that be?
Yeah.
You take your ATV from your garage.
Oh, just because it's a federal land, all of a sudden now it's pristine, Mr. Libertarian?
You drive it to Yellowstone.
You know it's close to that statist park where the buffalo live.
I bet that you could carve your own trail. To connect to an actual trail, and no one would be any the wiser.
You might end up some weird person wandering into your backyard. Put a sign somewhere that says, turn around, you've left the park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be awesome.
I think I'm doing two things. I'm buying a house in New York so that I can go up. There's a small, very, you know, $80,000-$90,000 house, just a garage, maybe 2-bedroom ranch, no big deal. Something super
low
maintenance.
You've won the lottery and you're like, $80,000-$90,000.
I'm buying that as a second home. I'm doing the same thing as
that's
Zach
a monster
did.
New or that was a monster Newcastle before the boom, but yeah.
And then I'm getting a private plane and a private plane's license and I'm commuting to
where I don't know if I get a private
you can do
plane
that now.
I think I'd go full Jim Lutz or the guy that was the head of Chrysler. He had like an F-18 at one point. They just took the hard points off so he couldn't like.
Get a Huey from like Vietnam era Huey.
Give me a fighter jet. I will. And you know
Huey
what?
You are a Huey. What the hell? A Huey?
Yeah, Huey.
I've actually, I have not thought much about the house I would have if I won the lottery. The garage, however, is completely planned. I know what cars I would have, how many cars I would have.
Are we going like Hoovy's garage, 7 or 8 bays?
It would be a partially above, partially below ground, and each car would be behind a glass door with this logo etched in the door.
There's a Dodge Challenger in town here at Russ Hubler Automotive, and it's sage green.
There's a Maserati on the used lot right now as well.
I'll give you guys a heads up. If you listen to the show, I will save you do not buy that Maserati. But if you know somebody who does buy the Maserati, please find a way to let me know of the suffering that they encounter. Because the Maserati, I think they want 47 for. I just got a conversation with a kid I went to school with about this, not I graduated with, but because he has one. There's a Maserati at his local dealership. And I said, you can buy those for, now the one here is like 47. It's a little high for Camry money, but it's like Toyota Camry money. But it's Ferrari, everything else underneath it, which means the maintenance bills are Ferrari level maintenance bills.
Yeah.
And to the point where, oh, it needs a clutch. That's like $13,000 or something like that. And so that's one of those cars that people buy them because they're super cheap to buy compared to what they were new.
But to operate it.
But the maintenance costs are still supercar maintenance costs. I want to see who buys that in town.
The Challenger's 44. I got to tell you, if I didn't have another vehicle payment, it'd probably be in my house.
They have some nice stuff down there. The car collection would be insane. I just have to rotate out like the high-end stuff because the maintenance would kill you.
All right, final rapid thought thing. We're going to get into final thoughts. Mike Pence bought a 7-bedroom mansion in Carmel. Is he still one of us?
One of us. He's not been one of us for a very long time.
Almost 2 million.
He lived off of Mar Road in Columbus in a nothing neighborhood before he was governor. Now he magically becomes governor and he goes out to D.C. for 4 years and he comes back and he's buying a 7-bedroom, $2 million house.
Son? Yeah. I was like, yeah,
unreal.
With that book deal money.
Unreal. In a house that he's probably, if everything goes perfectly in his plan, he's going to live there for 3 years and he's going to move back to D.C. I don't know. All right. Final thoughts. We'll start with Zachary and we'll go from there.
I don't have much. Broad Street Cruise was fun. Glad to see that. It was busy. The weather was a little warm, but nice. It didn't rain, so that was nice.
The people watching was excellent.
Yeah. We just sat under a tree, just watched the cars. I mean, and there was a little bit of people need to go up there. There's a little bit of everything. There was a truck that had a dancing bed in the whole truck, and he could drive with one wheel off the ground. That was great. That brought back childhood memories.
There was some fun. I think.
Did you smoke a cigar, or are you against all psychedelic substances?
I didn't. I didn't go over by the Jeremiah went over there, but I just sat. I had some friend. I had some a family or a friend of my wife's that I bug, and I see her up on Broad Street all the time with her family. So
Brendan Tim Chapman brought their black and yellow Chevelle through. Friends of the show. Matt's been a big supporter of ours. It was cool seeing his folks. There were some great vehicles.
I mean, apparently one local car guy had four different cars on Broad that night. He just kept rotating, that's the kind of problem I want to have. Yeah. Otherwise, LNK, I'll shout out Katie, even though he didn't show up. LNK does their stuff on Saturday. The farmer's market's going. Beehive Body Company, my cousins. And I'll congratulate my brother because I think it's finally official.
It's Instagram and Facebook official.
Yeah, finally. Yeah, his wife had a baby last Thursday.
Baby Lincoln Burton.
And pictures did not show up until like last night on the internet. I'm like, well, I guess I'm just going to deny this kid exists until there's pictures. So Lincoln Scott Burton was born. He's a chunk.
His parents were married on the Boss Hog of Liberty in this very studio.
Yeah.
It's a celebration for the entire Boss Hog family.
If you can't do math or you don't know how long babies take to make, that baby's a product of the studio.
We are taking full credit.
Yeah, full credit.
D Square, what do you know?
I know nothing.
All right.
Listen, man, I got everything out because I came up with the entire show.
These are his final thoughts.
These are his final thoughts. All of the suggestions I gave him, he passed over. He didn't use them. Congratulations to my brother. Big family news. Danny's getting married on Saturday. So Danny Morrill and the new Josie Morrill, by the time we reconvene next week, will be a thing. We're going to old Henry County now. Danny's marrying into the Thompsons. So we are half the county is now going to be related to the Morrill family, which is great for a couple of imports like us.
Mark Brim next week. And I'm very excited.
We have the final scheduled Brim episode because he's living his dream. He put out a YouTube video. He said, the hell with you to the Quaker College over in Richmond. He's done. And he's moving. I literally accused him of being like Little House on the Prairie shit. He's moving to where Laura Ingalls lived on the Minnesota-South Dakota border. He's packing it in, and he's going to go be a farmer. Ranching.
I hope he keeps the YouTube channel going because I kind of want to see the...
I think he could... So you talked about being a YouTube creator. Watching Mark adapt to the farm life the ranch life out there.
That's a sitcom.
I can't wait to have this show next week. It's going to be great. I hope he doesn't cancel on us. I hope it goes well. Zach, you should probably start walking that way because I'm trying to stretch this and he's getting no context clues, Dakota. But it's going to be great. I'm looking forward to having Mark. Congratulations, Danny and Josie. We'll see you all next week.